Oh, we've got a special edition of the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Today podcast. And guess what, Dave? It is Monday, May 13th.
I'm so glad you told me because I forgot my calendar.
Hey, some people need to know. They might be freaking out. Already on the baseball podcast this morning, I said it was Monday, May 12th. So we're off to a better start here on the football show. Dave Richards here. I'm Adam Azer. Special guest joining us today, our NFL insider for CBSSports.com, Pat Kerwin. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Adam. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you enjoying South Florida?
I'm enjoying CBS Studios. They've been very good to me today. They helped set up my radio show here. Dave has been around. We've been talking a lot of football. We watched a lot of college tape today.
Oh, yeah?
Even though the draft's over, I think you still keep watching players.
Yep.
And we've had a couple of laughs and a couple of enlightening moments, I'd say, Dave.
I would say so.
Yeah.
A certain linebacker.
We watched Manti Te'o for a while today.
Did you do the John Harbaugh and shake your head in disappointment?
We wondered why they call the blitz. He misses when he gets there.
Yeah,
anyway, I hope
so.
He does well in pro football. But it was good for us to watch some tape, and we're going to do a little bit more of that as the week goes on here.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Pat, by the way, is the co-host of Moving the Chains on Sirius XM NFL Radio. How can we access that, guys?
You can buy a subscription to Sirius XM. And
you're
it's worth it. I am. I'm a stockholder in Sirius, yes.
Yeah, you love it.
It's worth it. Just,
okay.
Just for Pat's show with Tim Ryan. Every day from 3 to 7 Eastern. And there's a replay that starts at midnight.
That's really the information I was looking for.
What, was when the replay was for Pat's show?
No, when the show was on, 3 to 7.
Yeah, 3 to 7, Monday through Friday.
Follow Pat on Twitter, at PatKerwinCBS. All right, we're going to talk to Pat about some of the rookies, some of the big topics around the NFL. We asked for your opinions and your questions on Twitter. And we've got some good stuff. So, Dave, I'll let you take it away, sir.
Well, I think the rookie running back that everybody wants to know about is Monty Ball. And I know that I've emailed you, Pat, and I've tried to get some info out of you about Monty Ball, and I kind of got stonewalled on that, and I'm hoping for a different answer now. But where I want to go with it is, what did you see in him in the process leading up to the draft? And number one, do you feel that he's a good pass protector? Because that's really the key to getting on the field in Denver as a running back.
Yeah, well, the Manning brothers, both Peyton and Eli, will tell you, I don't care how good you run the ball. This was from Eli last year about their first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. He said, until he blocks for me, he's never getting on the field. So I think Monty can handle that stuff. I think he's pretty good at it. You know, it's funny, when I saw his name coming up and I realized he was going to be drafted pretty high, I knew there would be guys like Bill Polian who would say, I don't know, 1,000 touches, I'd be careful. That's why he took Edgerrin James over Ricky. But it turned out Ricky played longer than Edgerrin. So,
yeah.
So much for that. I think Monty will be fine with that stuff. And Monty also plays faster than he runs. I don't think people should be confused by his run speed in shorts, because I've watched a lot of his tape. And you're going to have a lot of his tapes here. So you and I are trading some tapes. Let's watch some Wisconsin stuff. He can handle the blocking.
Oh, you know, I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, I think, on our podcast. And I'd love to get Pat's thoughts on this. And I know it's kind of random. But am I making this up, or is there somewhat of a disappointing history of Big Ten running backs in the NFL?
Well, Penn State, you know, we've had our fair share of them, and Blair Thomas was with me, and that was a disaster, second pick in the draft. And Big Ten running backs in general, I think that conference is still kind of labeled a running conference. So what happens to them, the NFL game, is really you have to have receiving skills and savvy receiving route running. And I think some of the guys, not all of them, have fallen short in that area. And they become more traditional, old school, first and second down backs. But I say this about, you know, like the USC quarterbacks fall into the same category of disappointing. You know what I say to people about it? I say, you know why they're disappointing? Because a lot of them get drafted. Name the school that has a lot of guys get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
They don't happen. So when a gem comes along at a Vanderbilt or somewhere else and he hits it, it's great. But there's no history of quarterback after quarterback. So I think at a school like SC, that Big Ten running backs, Le'Veon Bell comes to mind. I think he's a perfect fit going into Pittsburgh.
I was going to ask you about him. We might as well talk about him. Now, the opportunity for him is going to be great. You're looking at like 250 touches from him, because I don't think Jonathan Dwyer is anything special. I don't think Isaac Redman's going to see much playing time.
I agree with you. I think if you're playing fantasy football, you've got Le'Veon Bell pretty high on your list. Todd Haley was my intern when he first broke into the NFL. We talked many, many days about what he wanted in football. He was raised as a kid around the Steelers, mm-hmm. understands the run game. Now, he has been in places where he has ignored the run, but the skill sets of his players, Kurt Warner, et cetera, provided them the opportunity to be a better passing team. In this case, I think you're going to see Le'Veon Bell in every down and distance. Now, he is a very good third down back, and he's a very good route runner. So when I talk about running backs, and this will be the second time we did this, running backs as route runners, I'm not talking about the quick flat route, the swing route, the screen. I'm talking about the guy that can go vertical down the field, read an alignment of a linebacker, and beat him. And that might include getting a seam route in there. So he does all those things. He's got very good hands. Jimmy Miller, who I do radio shows with, does all the Michigan State games and was a quarterback in the NFL. So he scrutinizes players pretty closely, and he has a very, very high grade and thinks the guy's going to have a well over 1,000-yard season.
Who did you compare Bell to? Who does he remind you of?
Well, he's a big back, number one. So you got to think about guys that have receiving skills that are big power backs. Although, you know, he's got a reputation. He had one or two turn down plays down by the goal line. And I think the opening game of the year, he spit up a ball. Guy that he reminds me of, I don't know, some of those New York Giant running backs.
Yeah, Brandon Jacobs can catch a pass every now and then.
You know,
but he's not that big, but shiftier.
You know, Brandon isn't shifty. He's looking to run you over, run the darkness kind of guy. This guy is a little shifty, but he needs to play big. There are too many big backs in the NFL that come in and don't want to play big. He needs to drop his shoulder, which I think he'll do, and do a fine job.
Is he Eddie George-like?
I don't know that his open field speed.
Right.
Eddie got in the open field, and all of a sudden you had a problem. You know, and I'll come back and answer that again as I go through everyone's rosters. But for now, I'll settle in with that. And even Rodney... that played for the Giants,
Rodney Hampton.
I think he's got more of that kind of stuff in him. He can explode into a tackler and bounce off him and go again.
My first football jersey, by the way, Rodney Hampton.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, now you do.
That's really useless information, but
well, it was great information for me. Before we started, you told me that I was a Giant fan.
Right,
I said,
sure.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to launch the guy's first name from 20 years ago and see
yeah,
if he can get,
and he
it.
Can get it.
And he picked it right off, folks. That's a true Giant fan. Only one Rodney to a Giant fan.
Yeah, pretty much. That was an easy one.
I want to pick up a question from Twitter. I ask people on Twitter to ask about which players you want to know about. So Pat, Frank Maselli wants to know about Darren McFadden, who obviously a lot of injury history, but a new offensive scheme coming to Oakland. When the Raiders ditched the zone blocking scheme, could it work for McFadden to work exclusively with the power run game?
Bob Wiley was the line coach there when he had his best year. And I was talking to Bob on the way over here today. About their scheme and everything else. At the end of the day, if McFadden will stay healthy, he can be in a power run scheme, he can be in a zone scheme. The truth of the matter is nobody's running anything exclusively anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They realize with the fronts they face, they better have a zone package and a power package, an angle blocking package, a G-power, pull guard package. Because otherwise, if I know you're going to be one scheme or the other, I'm going to set my defense up to defeat the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And so even I just saw, what's his name, went back to the Denver Broncos to coach.
Alex Gibbs,
the father of the zone running scheme, started pulling the backside guard and running angle block in play. So it'll all still be there. This is a function of McFadden staying healthy. He's got those skinny track legs.
Everybody blamed the scheme last year.
Well, that's because they fired the coaches and they weren't there to defend themselves.
Right. I mean, I thought it was kind of strange how that all went down.
There's a guy in the open field that has Eric Dickerson qualities. And so if you think about when's he at his greatest, you got to get him to the second level. I would power block it and ensure that he crosses the line of scrimmage. The zone scheme is kind of just a little bit of finesse in reading it. But if I'm going to take a tight end tackle, block down, get an edge, pull a guard, and get that guy to the second level, now you get the best of McFadden. Because in the open field, forget it. The safeties aren't catching him.
Yeah, we talk about running backs obviously all the time. I think they end up being the most fascinating position for fantasy football. And I wonder what you think about the offensive line, and if we overemphasize it. I think about McFadden, I think about Ryan Matthews, and I think about Chris Johnson. And in all those instances, we've spent time, I don't know if blaming is the right word, but pinpointing the offensive line as a reason why these guys might be struggling. Is there a lot to that, or are we not putting enough on the player?
I think you got to put more on the player, especially in Chris Johnson's case. Tennessee has a good offensive line, and they've always had a good offensive line. I think Chris got into the stop-start business, where whether he didn't see the scheme anymore or he wasn't disciplined to it or the running back coach wasn't being hard on him. If you get a guy to stop-start in the backfield in the NFL, they're really not going to go anywhere.
Right.
So I put it on him. I'm more interested because whenever I hear Chris Johnson's name, I think of Jamal Charles. To me, That guy has the same running style. The challenge out there is, what's Andy Reid going to do with him? Is he going to turn him into Brian Westbrook and make him a back out of the backfield receiver type? Or is he going to let him become and be the runner he really should be? Very interested. I think that's a big question to go into preseason. I got to get myself to Kansas City and see how they're doing it.
And everybody's really excited about Jamaal Charles because they see the track record of what Andy Reid has done with running backs, not necessarily giving him a ton of carries, but obviously catches count the same. And I think he's going to lean on Jamaal Charles, if only to make things a little bit easier for Alex Smith.
And he put Brad Childress in his press box.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad is working with the offense. And Brad is always – and he's been with Andy a long time, so he can say these things. I think he's going to be the one who's going to keep dragging them back to the run game, making sure they don't drift too far away from it and be 70% pass.
Which has been a problem for Andy Reid in the past. Thoughts on Chip Kelly and Andy Reid's old place, Philadelphia?
Yeah, well, first off, he hires Pat Shurmur. So what's that tell me? It tells me that he's decided I can't come out here and just pull an Oregon trick right on these NFL guys. I think he understands protections are going to be an issue. And we've seen that with college guys that made the jump before. And it just all of a sudden, it's not the play calling. It's the protections. It's the ability to understand how people are going to get to him and take receivers away. So Shurmur's going to add the West Coast element to it. They'll blend those two offenses. It'll be pretty nice. I've talked to Todd Hermans and a couple of the linemen. They said they are freaking exhausted the way that guy's up-tempo practices are going. He is making them run. And if you think about that, and you think about the tackle he took from Oklahoma,
yeah,
who takes a tackle that runs 4-7?
Yeah.
A guy that wants to run the ball up and down the field with an up-tempo pace things. I think so far in my mind, guys like Peyton Manning and Brady, when they want to go up-tempo, they're so good at doing it, and they know what they're doing. It's easy for them. It doesn't mean young quarterbacks or guys that haven't really grasped the offense. I'm not so sold on Mike Vick here that as right. athletic as he is, that they can run the up-tempo and get them into the right play over and over again. It's easy to run around. Can you get the guys into the right play, and do you understand what the defense is doing to you? So close eye on Philadelphia to see if they really can handle the up-tempo stuff.
And I think that they're going to lean on the run just based on Chip Kelly's track record. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but last year they averaged 51 rushes per game on 81 plays per game.
Well, a lot of reasons why. Most teams have an Omaha system, which means if you're making me panic, you're rushing to the line, I can't make calls. Most teams have a check, and you can hear them on television all the time, and a lot of teams use the same language, Omaha.
Yeah.
What does it mean? It means get in four deep. We're not sure what they're doing. Well, if you're getting Omaha'd and they're four deep, the run game is available right. and take the run game.
Right.
So the up-tempo can force people into what I'd call very conservative coverage calls, and they don't want to get burned deep. So what's the lesser of two evils? See if they'll beat us with the run game. And, you know, so that's why they surrender some things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this about Barkley. He won't be the starter, but Barkley's going to be able to handle all that stuff.
I think so, too. And the fact that he can handle – I think he's got a good arm for the West Coast offense.
Oh, he's got a terrific arm for what they're going to do. And he's an up-tempo from the neck up guy. He's going to be able to – he might be able to get more plays in per game than guys we think are fast player quarterbacks that haven't seen – the NFL system. I think, you know, Geno might have a little harder time. You know, he's going to get blocked by the mental stuff in front of him.
Geno Smith, you were saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about that situation? Is he a diva? Do we know anything about him?
No, you know, I talked to him the day before the draft, face-to-face. I talked to him when he wasn't picked. Yes, he was upset. I never thought he was leaving, even though it was reported he was leaving. He was so upset Thursday night. I sit with Gil Brandt. Gil Brandt manages all the kids. And Gil said to me, I'll be right back. And he wasn't gone 10 minutes. And he said he ain't going anywhere. So I think some of it gets blown out of proportion. I think the guy, you know, I'm surprised when marquee quarterbacks, and this is not a shot at the representation, but I'm always surprised when a marquee quarterback who thinks of himself as the best quarterback in the draft doesn't have a guy like Tom Condon. A power broker who's handled the quarterbacks forever.
Right.
Who doesn't make any mistakes, and his clients don't make mistakes, and they're in line. So the kid said that he was told by his people that he was going to be the first pick in the draft. You don't say those things to kids. What do I think of him as a player? I think the guy throws the ball pretty darn good, and he's got a lot of critics, but I think he's going to end up being the opening day starter at the Jets.
I think so, too. I look at the competition.
You know, it's... new GM, and clearly the coach doesn't have any more power like he did. So this is, I don't know why they kept Rex, to tell you the truth, because they're cleaning it up so much.
Yeah.
And they're going to put a new quarterback on the field. You would have thought they would have brought in their coach right now with the guy, but that's a story for another time. But in the meantime, I think Mark is going to land up on the outside of this thing. And I'll say this about Mark, and I'll let this subject go. Mark's handled this thing with class the whole way, from the Tebow thing on down. He has never said a bad thing, and that's going to come back to help him at another place. And he's probably going to back up. But I already got my list for today's show. He could back up Atlanta, Baltimore, Chicago, Denver, Green Bay, Houston, Kansas City, New Orleans, Seattle, St. Louis.
Yeah.
He'd upgrade their backup. And I'm talking about a guy that can come on the field if the starter gets hurt and win games.
St. Louis makes a lot of sense because Brian Schottenheimer's there.
Yeah.
So he kind of knows what's going on.
4-2 on the road in playoff games.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get to that point with the Jets by accident. I know the Jets' defense was good then. But, I mean, we shouldn't make this about Sanchez.
The defense was no better than the Cincinnati Bengal defense is for Dalton. Dalton hasn't done a thing.
Sure.
He's lost 2 playoff games and 2 shots. Mm-hmm. He's never thrown a touchdown. Yet we think Andy Dalton's ready for a multi-million dollar contract.
Oh, I don't know if everybody thinks
Sanchez.
I don't think his coach thinks that.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't, and yeah. I might put Sanchez on that team, and see what that looks like.
You think Sanchez actually could be a good quarterback if in the right situation?
Yeah, he threw 9 touchdowns in playoff games, won every playoff game on the road. 4 of those 6 games, all of them were on the road. I think Sanchez, to me, if you really look at last year's team, where were his weapons?
No. Yeah.
You can
and that's
find
the
him,
problem Geno's going to have this year.
He just fumbles so much. It's maddening.
Yeah, and other guys have fumbled. Dave Craig was the leading fumble of all time, and he hung around the NFL a long time. I would say this about Mark. I don't know that he's ever going to be an elite player.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if Mark led a team to a Super Bowl.
Interesting. Okay. How do you think the run game with the Jets is going to be? With if Geno starts week one, Chris Ivory, Mike Goodson, new guys –
I like Chris Ivory a lot, but I don't like the right side of the Jet line.
No, no one does.
And I don't like DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Hmm. He's a nice little fancy pass blocker. He can't run block anybody. So where's the point of attack? If you were the guy who said, we're going to run the ball here. Like if you look at Green Bay, they're putting Josh over there with Bulaga.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be a left-handed run team. And they're going to be a right-handed bootleg team.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up perfect for them to be that team now.
Yeah.
Where do the Jets run the ball? Behind Nick Mangold.
It's going to have to be, right?
Behind the line of scrimmage.
You know? Right. So the weapons in the passing game are limited. Who's the tight end? Every young quarterback, Dave, you and I talk about it a lot. Every young quarterback needs a tight end to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
And who's that guy?
Jeff Cumberland?
They got some holes.
I'm impressed you knew his name.
We wanted to ask you about Danny Amendola. What do you think he'll be like in New England?
He ain't no Wes Welker. That's a fact.
They're kind of different.
Yeah, and Wes Welker was, among many things, healthy all the time. And even when he got hurt, he came right back. You know, Danny doesn't have a medical history that's favorable. He certainly doesn't have Wes's savvy slot running skills. Where you had to double. Every time you singled him, he was open. Now, Brady's going to get Amendola a bunch of balls, but I don't think it was a fair trade. If someone thinks that Wes Welker's absence is replaced by Danny, I think you're selling Wes short.
I think so, too. I think Amendola's numbers are going to be, I don't know, 70 to 80% of what Welker did. And that's if he stays healthy. You can.
You can live with it if the tight ends aren't healthy.
Right. Yeah.
So
there's a little concern about Tom Brady and how he'll play this year, at least the numbers that he'll put up.
You know, I don't worry about Tom. That's the least of their problems.
Yeah.
And I think they've worked hard to build a running game.
I think that's the direction they're going to go
in. Blunt on the team and keeping the 2 kids from last year. I think they're going to run the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
But who's the vertical threat, number one? I can crowd all my coverages underneath right now. Who's beating me deep?
Yeah, you can't say that Aaron Hernandez is that guy.
No.
But they really haven't had that for a while, and they've still been
successful. They had it with Randy Moss.
They had it with Randy Moss.
You know, and they tried they were going to get it with Brandon Lloyd. And so that didn't work out. And they thought Chad Ochocinco might give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work out. But you got to keep trying because they're going to be 6 under, 1 deep. That's what's going to happen because Tom can't run.
Yeah.
See, if you have a quarterback that can't run and you don't have a deep threat, you really know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes down to him having 15 play drives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
It's still, with all this said, it just still amazes me how great Tom Brady is.
He's the best quarterback in the game, and I love saying it to people that have another answer.
It's not Sanchez.
I would never argue that.
No.
Dave, I know you wanted to ask him about the Alfred Morrises of the world, and Randall Cobb, guys that had some big seasons last year.
Yeah. A lot of players broke out last year. Are there any that you look at and you say, ah, it's not going to happen again? Like maybe you look at an Alfred Morris and you say, nah, I don't think he's going to have the chance. Now, I would never say such a thing because Al's my homeboy and he and I go way back now.
Yeah.
anybody out there that maybe you looked at?
Well, I think this is the year you should really be looking for him. And if you think about the league from the way I look at it, and I know you do, Dave, we're in a tight salary cap. We have a bunch of teams that don't even have enough space to sign their rookies. Mm-hmm. That's today's cap numbers. So if you're circled, you don't even have enough money to sign your guys.
Yep.
That means you've got to play young kids. You can't keep the veterans. There's still going to be a bunch of cuts here.
Yep.
And really, opportunity is the reason someone blossoms from the middle rounds. You're going to keep all seven of your draft picks and three undrafted kids, 10 guys. And you're going to do that at 10 different teams for salary cap reasons. Mm-hmm. You've just added 100 possibles. And that's how those things happen. Those guys get a shot because it's the time. You know, if everyone had $15 million of cap space, we'd all play the older veterans.
Yeah.
Tell the kids to wait. We can't do that anymore.
No. But as far as players who did well in 2012, and take a step back in 2013, some suggestions, maybe Randall Cobb or James Jones. Cecil Shorts in Jacksonville.
Well, Cecil Shorts is a victim of the quarterback situation here. There's another place for Sanchez. We'll keep Sanchez alive in that place.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
That's not they much don't want of a Tebow. Downgrade, I guess.
No. So
no, Cecil Shorts had some good numbers there.
Yeah, even I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
You're asking for really guys going the other direction. Yeah. Guys flatten out. I mean, the defense didn't do nothing this winter. They worked on stuff.
Yeah.
I'd say the area that I'm most interested in is the death of the pistol.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
That, to me, is first phenomenon, because from that will come running back numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go down.
That's Alfred Morris all the way.
Yeah, so every defensive guy I know spent the offseason constructing a package for the pistol and how they're going to play it. And I think we have to really spend a lot of early September on that, realizing that the ripple effect of that's going to be receivers not catching the ball as much, mm-hmm. right?
Because sure.
the Robert Griffin passing game is off the pistol. He rides the back end, pulls it out, and hits that seam route right away.
Right.
They're going to take some of this away. I don't know what parts yet, but anyone who's putting up numbers in some form of a pistol shotgun principle is going to be dealing with a new defensive look.
Well, now you're hitting a very important group of quarterbacks here, because not only is it RG3, but also Colin Kaepernick. I think Russell Wilson did a lot out of the pistol too.
Yeah.
In a game where you don't want to pick a player who's got so much expectations, but you don't think will deliver, are those guys that take a step back because of what defenses can do? Maybe particularly Kaepernick because of how the defenses in his division are.
Yeah, I think you're on to the right guy. I think the Super Bowl started to tell the tale a little bit. People are studying that game. They're going to study him. They're going to study where he's really going. Bill Cowher and I have had long conversations about this, and Bill and I spent a day doodling with a pad of paper on what to do. Mm-hmm. I said, let's make believe you had to defend one. Let's talk about it. And at the end of the day, he was blitzing the living daylights out of it.
That's what I figure you have to do.
And he is going to do that, and he thinks a lot of guys are going to think about doing that. In Seattle, Peter put the kid right back under center.
Mm-hmm.
That kid never ran it at Wisconsin. He never did it at all. Mm-hmm. So he put it in as he was getting ready for other teams and realized there's some problems here, and Russell did fine with it. If Russell struggles or if the scheme looks like it's ahead of Russell, he'll be back under center. They'll have a fullback in the game. They'll be running power lead.
And that's a problem then for Kaepernick and for RG3, because especially Kaepernick, he came from Nevada straight out of the pistol offense.
Yeah, I think we should have started with Cam Newton on this, because Cam Newton and what he did in Carolina kind of opened everyone's eyes to let's give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they did it was we had no – that was the year of the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Rivera went over there to Auburn and just said, give me his 10 best plays. We don't even have practice times. I'm just going to open up the season with his 10 best Auburn plays. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, they worked.
Yeah. No and kidding.
So
they worked.
He nurtured
games
that.
Were amazing.
And consequently, the other guys started, and there's been college guys getting hired to help with these offenses. But they are going to go blow up these quarterbacks. Now, you guys want you to be two GMs. Robert Griffin gets hurt opening day again.
Mm-hmm.
What's that tell you about drafting a quarterback for that offense?
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Yeah. If I had the pro style sit in the pocket and get rid of the ball guy, I would take that guy over the guy who needs his legs.
Because you're going to need three of them. It looks to me like if you're building a football team, you got to probably get three runaround quarterbacks and treat them like running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says you need three running backs, right? If you keep running these quarterbacks like you are, you're going to need three quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so why can you get away with it in college and not in the NFL? They just hit so much harder in the NFL?
Well, to me, if you just take the base speed of the 11 guys on defense, it basically makes the field about, in the eyes of that first-year college guy, about 40 yards wide. They cover that much more ground,
right.
And they don't make those mistakes on angles of pursuit.
Mm.
And I think you and I watch a lot of Robert Griffin when the last time I was here.
Yeah.
Robert Griffin in college, they one-arm tackled him all the time. They just pulled him mm-hmm. down. He went right down. Now, if you didn't get him, he ran for a touchdown. But there was no breaking tackles. There was no power. When he got to the Redskins, his desire to be great, he started trying to drop his shoulder and be a more physical mm-hmm. runner. I think the first lesson for him is just go down like you used to.
Yeah.
You're either going to hit a home run or you're going to be tackled back here and treat the tackle like a sack.
Yeah.
Those guys take the sack. Live to fight another play.
Exactly.
I actually wanted to go back to Brady. I know this is a little.
You did? I wanted to keep talking about the.
Let's talk about
quarterbacks.
Brady.
Go ahead. Ask about Brady, and then I'm going
to
drag you.
Fine.
Back.
I just wanted to ask, why not Aaron Rodgers as the best quarterback in football right now? You said you'd take Brady, so I figured I'd put
you
to the test.
Yeah, no. Well, Aaron Rodgers is certainly close to the top of the line there. I mean, the standard answer is 5 trips to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And not with great football teams.
Is it he's been better or he's better now? Like, who's the best quarterback right now in the NFL?
Well, I haven't excused or really haven't excused Aaron Rodgers for losing to your Giants at home. Okay, so
I have.
What happens?
I was cool with it.
And I love Aaron Rodgers. I think he has a chance to be the best and maybe before Tom retires. But I still would take Tom. Tom has figured out how to win games with lesser talent.
Yeah.
So far, it looks to me like when the Packer defense isn't great, Aaron hasn't been able to step up and do all the things Tom's done when his defense is terrible.
That's absolutely fair. All right, mm-hmm. Dave, back to fantasy relevance.
You remember last year when Cam Newton, he kind of
I knew he'd agree with me when I took the Giants.
Yeah, I
didn't disagree. I just wanted to bring it up.
Good job, Adam.
First half of Cam Newton's season last year, he ran into some trouble. He had some bad games. I remember watching him and thinking that, you know, when he's forced to be like a pure quarterback, his arm isn't exactly Tom Brady-esque. Second half of the year, something clicked there. And I'm wondering if there's something that the Panthers figured out based on the defenses that were prepared to take on Cam Newton early on in the year. And is there anything that we can learn from the defenses that shut Cam Newton down? And I don't have his game log in front of me. I can get it. But is there anything to learn there from those? The Giants is an example, that Thursday night game.
Let me back up and just talk about Cam. You know, first off, Cam comes into the league and explodes. And people aren't really sure how to handle him or that offense. Okay, they spent that offseason getting ready for Cam.
Right.
So people decided how to slow play him, rope-a-dope him. I'll take you back to Randall Cunningham. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Randall Cunningham couldn't win a playoff game because people made him a passer. They didn't rush him.
Mm-hmm.
They two-man rushed the guy. They caused just enough friction that he actually thought he had to throw, but it never let him think he should escape and run. And they rope-a-doped him. And said, beat us with your arm. You know, and if Cam's going to get a dose of that, and I suspect he has, I think he has started to respond to that. He has a good arm. I don't think he has a great set of receivers. There's another guy that needs a big-time marquee receiver or two. Or get into the New England Patriot double tight end set stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think they were looking at Eifert in the draft.
Yeah, well, they didn't look fast enough, you know, because today I think Jay Gruden was bragging about their two tight ends.
Exactly. It's going to be their base package now.
It should be.
Of course.
The Patriots have it. The 49ers have it. Mm-hmm. You know, Delanie Walker, that's going to be an interesting loss.
The
underrated guy.
I agree.
Two tight ends with a young quarterback, the way to go. And I think Cam started to respond. You know, here's what happens to these guys. It's year two. You've been good. Now they're planning for you. But you as a player don't understand or think, how am I going to figure out what they're getting ready to do to me? You have to be subjected to it to start seeing yourself on tape against it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Cam's going to be fine.
Yeah. Sorry, Pat. What's interesting about Cam, Dave, is he actually, it feels like he had kind of a down year, but he had a great fantasy year. He still put up the numbers.
Yeah, he had a great year. Number wise,
yeah. I mean, so you're not approaching.
A big part of it was the fact that he ran for 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that happened. Ron Rivera told me his first year, and he didn't back off this year, that their red zone running game was Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they weren't hiding it. They basically said we got a quarterback run plays, and we're going to use him down there. Here's my biggest fear for Cam Newton: that Ron Rivera gets fired, and they start all over.
Are you worried that Chud's gone? It kind of bothers me that Mike Shula is the OC now.
I'm not down on Mike. I don't like that everything's subtly different with every person and leeway and how much the audible flexibility is going to be there and what's the personality on the sideline after a bad series. It's clear that Chud was able to get through to him and there was a communication level. You know, your parents drop you off at the babysitter, you immediately compare them to your parents. Sometimes you like going to the babysitter, sometimes you don't. NFL players all have babysitters.
All right, so last question, talking about the young quarterbacks, the ones that were in the pistol, the RG3s, the Kaepernicks, the Russell Wilsons. You said that in the case of Randall Cunningham, defenses dared them to beat them with their arm. And I'm using there too many times in one sentence. You look at these quarterbacks, RG3 and Kaepernick and Wilson, they've got good arms. And I think they're all capable, if they had to play quarterback in a standard pocket way, I think they could all do it.
They can. Well, I know Robert can.
Right.
Because I was at their camp, and he was working hard to be in the pocket. Mm-hmm. He gets it. He knows that to play 10 years and do all the things he wants to do in this league, he's going to do more from the pocket. Mm-hmm. The problem with these guys is all the same. They've had so much personal success with their feet that – how disciplined can they be to sit in there and find the third read? Hmm. You know how long in their life there was one read and a run? That was Baylor.
Right.
Gets to the Redskins, it's two reads and a run.
Mm-hmm.
That's his first big, and he was good at it. How do you get to the three reads? I'll go right to Donovan McNabb. McNabb was a great runner, and you go look this one up, but he played a game and he had an ankle he couldn't walk. And he had to stay in the pocket, and he had been running quite well that year. And he had to stay in the play. He could not walk, basically. He walked out onto the field and played, and he threw for 375 yards or something the first time he did it. And I asked him about it. I called him. I said, tell me about the game. He goes, well, I had to do it, and I knew I couldn't run. And I just stayed in there and found the third guy. And so I think Robert wants to do that. I think Robert wants to go through this rehab stuff.
I think all the quarterbacks would do it. Like, I get the impression
really
from
hard.
All these guys.
If it was easy, they'd all do it. It's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And the clock in their head says this line can't block. And the first time they're tagged in their ear hole, the clock gets shortened again.
Right.
You know.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm worried the most about RG3 staying healthy, and I'm worried the most about Kaepernick having that clock tick faster. And with Russell Wilson, I feel fine. Like, I think he can handle being
I'm a fan of Colin Kaepernick. I like him. I spent a lot of time with him.
Yeah.
But I don't know one element to him. I don't know if the pressure of Alex on that sideline was getting him to do everything the best he could.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes, he doesn't have that pressure anymore.
I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be bad. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but the guy that was the answer, if he wasn't playing well, was right over there, and he knew that head coach would have done it.
And now it's Colt McCoy, and that's not an answer.
I wanted to ask you about one more player here, Mike Wallace, now with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think I seem to like it more than Dave and Jamie in terms of fantasy. What do you think about him? You think he can have a big year?
Well, it's a function of Ryan Tannehill. I was driving over here this morning. It was big Ryan Tannehill billboards everywhere. That doesn't make a quarterback. But, you know, he's a speed guy. We all know that. He's got some drops to him. I thought he took a bad rap last year in Pittsburgh. He didn't have the greatest year, but, you know, people fill in the blanks with, oh, he's in a contract, yeah, oh, he's out of here, all this other stuff. He's a good player.
Yeah.
On a shorter term, on a 1 or 2 year deal, I probably would have taken Greg Jennings over him, just because you get the whole package. He's emotionally stable. He's not a guy who's dropping balls. Mike, I don't know. Is Mike going to South Beach at night? I don't know what he's doing yet. We'll find out. But I think he's the kind of guy they absolutely needed there. If you're going to have the other kid on the other side, the Ohio State kid,
Hartline,
yeah. Brian, he's not going anywhere. And he had 1 or 2 deep route once, and all of a sudden said he's a possession receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
And Michael stretched the field out, and he'll do fine.
Dave, you ever see Mike Wallace in South Beach when you're out there clubbing?
All the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was about to break in while you were talking. Yeah. He and
I. The inside scoop out there?
Yeah, you know, we share a couple of Diet Cokes.
Call me next time you see
me. All right, Pat. You're the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. You just drafted Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin.
Yeah.
A, which one do you want to use more, assuming that both are healthy, both impress in camp? B, do you see yourself changing fundamentally the way that you call plays with having that run game now compared to what
my
you
had intent,
before?
And then we'll get down to realities. My intent is that Eddie's on first and second down, and Jonathan's on third down. So you got to train them. So you got to be trained. So that's the first place they're getting trained. The emphasis is going to be, of course, you just not just that back. I mean, Jonathan's going to have to learn first and second down stuff, and he'll do it all the time. But I'm trying to develop my third down back with him and my power back. And the way I see Eddie Lacy, now I've talked to a number of orthopedic surgeons about that toe fusion, and that he's not out of the woods on that thing. And so that can still be problematic. So I'm going to go slow with him until I'm sure that he's okay with that thing.
How many weeks into the regular season do you think that would be?
I think they're going to know during camp.
Right.
If what his pain tolerance is and what his ability to practice every day is. The less he can practice, the more he's the first down guy. And he's, you know, because he's going to learn that in camp and it's not going to change very much. But the nuances of picking up protections, if he's not getting a lot of reps at it because he can't practice on Wednesdays and Thursdays,
right,
then it's just going to be the other kid.
Do you think that means just more passing and more Aaron Rodgers, either just dumping it off?
Aaron Rodgers has a lot of freedom at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And he and his coach see passing answers to a lot of problems, and they've got the weapons. Now, they're not a receiver short yet, but they could, with one injury, be close to a receiver short. You look at their depth chart.
Yeah, it's thin.
It's close. And as soon as they get to 2 wideouts that are legit, not 3, now we got a personnel issue and how they're going to handle that. Do I think they're going to be a pony backfield with the 2 guys? I don't think so. Although Eddie's a thumper, he'd go lead in there for him. But they could, depending on how much Franklin shows me as a receiver on that stuff we talked about earlier, if he has that, now you could see some pony backfield stuff, which like Buffalo wants to do.
Right.
Where now all of a sudden he goes in motion. What are you, walking a Will linebacker out with him? If you're walking a Will linebacker out with him, I'll take my chances on that matchup.
Yes.
So I think they'll dabble in that stuff. But they better be ready to have other personnel groups because they don't have the stockpile of wideouts they've had in the past.
Do you think Rodgers throws less in 2013?
Not significantly less.
Okay.
Not significantly less. That's not their style of play, and it's not who he is, and it's not the kind of freedom. You know, Vinny Testaverde didn't have any audibles under Bill Parcells. He had to run the play that was called, so Bill controlled the whole thing. Aaron's up there with the playbook in his back pocket.
Yep.
Big difference.
Pat Kerwin is our CBSSports.com NFL insider and the co-host of Moving the Chains on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And it was a pleasure to have you, Pat. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me be with you guys. I really am jealous of the lifestyles you lead down here. Let's put some headsets on and talk for a while.
Yeah, just hang out. Nicely we usually done. Do our podcast at the beach, actually.
Oh, so, call me again.
Yeah. You know, bikini babes want to know about their fantasy football teams. Yeah. They come over and...
Don't even start me on that.
All right, that's
Thank
back.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Dave Richard, I'm Adam Azer, and we will talk to you next time.